What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Toma Todito Boxing Show. Your favorite boxing show. Fingers crossed as I'm saying that. Let's talk about a big light heavyweight matchup that took place this past Saturday between two undefeated fighters, two friends, and former training partners. And that was the storyline behind this, where there was a little bit of disdain starting to build up between these two. This is a fight that was supposed to have taken place in October of last year. And the fight was called off and rescheduled, or postponed and rescheduled, to this past Saturday due to Dan Aziz suffering a pinched nerve in his back. And that ended up causing this big delay. Both fighters ready. A lot was said that in the buildup that Joshua Buatsi was a whiner. Buatsi was acting like a prima donna. Was acting like a diva. This is coming from a friend of his in Dan Aziz. Very respectful overall. Both men of very few words. But there was a little bit of hype now because there was a delay. There was a postponement. And so the claims were there that Dan Aziz was not ready to face Joshua Buatsi last October. So the claim on the Buatsi side was that Dan Aziz ended up causing the delay to continue preparing for him because he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to handle him back in October. That was denied by Dan Aziz, of course. And then the claims of the you're acting like a diva and this and that came about. And so it was cool. That was a cool little buildup for them. Two light heavyweights, undefeated light heavyweights. The fight ended up taking place at the Wembley Arena. The stakes were, this was going to be an eliminator, or it was the WBA eliminator. And the winner is basically standing by to fight Dimitri Bivol. Now, Dimitri Bivol, who is the WBA light heavyweight champ and has defended that title with everything he's got, more recently against Lyndon Arthur in December, he is now slated to a big unification bout that we've all been asking for years now between Bivol and Arthur Beterbiev, who successfully defeated Callum Smith and stopped him. Callum Smith was possibly the highest ranked light heavyweight contender at that time. Arthur Beterbiev, having gone through the other heavily ranked light heavyweight in Anthony Yarde prior to Callum Smith. Then you had the WBO champion, Lyndon Arthur. Dimitri Bivol handled him. Zurdo Ramirez no longer contends at light heavyweight. He was a victim to Dimitri Bivol. He campaigns at cruiserweight now. Joe Smith, another live dog at light heavyweight and former champ. He was handled by both Bivol and Arthur Beterbiev. He moved up to cruiserweight and actually ended up fighting Zurdo Ramirez last year in what was an entertaining fight in which Zurdo got his hand raised in the end. So slim pickings at light heavyweight. And here are two names that are up and coming. Joshua Buatsi, who's been making a lot of noise UK side, and Dan Aziz, who is linked to having a style as to the 80s style of a type fighter. He possesses that sitting down on his punches, possesses good power, comes forward, likes to engage, and some people even compare him to having somewhat of have adopted a style similar to that of Marvin Hagler. Dan Aziz is a very good, well-rounded fighter. High guard, fights in tight, fights close, likes to fight in the pocket. Joshua Buatsi, a little bit more of the elusive style fighter, with his hands down low sometimes, possesses good boxing, looping punches, mixes up his attack very well, and has better footwork. Had the better footwork of the two fighters. The fight took place at the Wembley this past Saturday, and it delivered. It was a super entertaining fight. Leading up to the fight, most of the people that were analyzing this could not pick it. It was a 50-50 style fight. You had a 20-0 fighter against a 17-0 fighter. Dan Aziz was coming in as a 20-0 fighter with 13 knockouts. Whereas Joshua Buatsi was coming into this at 17-0 with similar knockouts. He is now 18-0, remains unblemished. He came away with the victory. There was a little bit of drama in the fight, in which Aziz goes down twice in the 11th round. Both knockdowns were counted. Both knockdowns could have been ruled slips. Both knockdowns were a matter of coincidence and misfortune, because Boazzi happened to be landing just as Aziz was mid-movement or trying to evade or finishing a punch. The first knockdown, of course, happened right as he's standing above one of the logos. Boazzi had already slipped in that same portion of the ring, and he managed to stay on his feet. When they engaged, they were mid-exchange, Boazzi getting the better of the exchange, and Aziz goes down, claims that it was a slip, immediately arose, but Boazzi landed. Maybe as Aziz was already down or on his way down from the slip, but Boazzi landed. They were mid-exchange. There was really no fluke. It was just coincidental misfortune is how I see it. Later on in the same round, again, those logos super slippery for both fighters and for the majority of the night. There was a lot of evidence that the fighters continue to slip on those logos. And we've seen that in multiple events. Numerous events that you could go back and trace that down to. Boazzi again. They exchange. He catches him with a right hand. And as he's unleashing his combination, Aziz is on a forward leaning. It looked like he was either trying to get out of the pocket, but slipped. And at the same time, Boazzi's throwing his right hand, which lands behind Aziz and almost helped catapult him down to the ground on that second knockdown. That one looked a little bit more questionable as a slip, but it was ruled a knockdown. And of course, it's hard. It's hard to gauge those because they're exchanging and there's punches being exchanged as a fighter is going down due to the slip. It wasn't so evident that he's falling or that he gets hit after he's already down or vice versa. So it just happened to be, nonetheless, those two knockdowns were not going to make the difference in the scorecards. It was a fairly one-sided affair in which the judges were seeing Joshua Boazzi, the better boxer, having connected more, having been the more active of the two fighters. Aziz basically set his game plan to seek and destroy, sit on his punches, walk forward, continue to walk towards Joshua Boazzi, which gave a lot of room for Joshua Boazzi because he was just unleashing on Aziz from different angles, varying his attack, mixing it up to the body, the head, looping punches, uppercuts, hooks, everything, what have you, while Aziz continued to just walk forward, try to land his jab, and follow it up with a potential power punch. There were very good exchanges throughout the fight, but you saw one of the fighters being a lot more elusive, a lot more active, and that was Joshua Boazzi, who was walking away with this earlier in the fight and did not take his foot off the gas. He was definitely the better of the two fighters, and he is now the WBA mandatory for Dmitry Bivol or Arthur Beterbiev, should Arthur Beterbiev be successful against Dmitry Bivol in June when this big unification fight is supposed to happen. Meanwhile, is Joshua Boazzi going to stay inactive or is he going to continue to fight? All signs point to an interview that he did post-fight where he says that he's ready for Anthony Yarde. That would be an amazing fight. Slim pickings right now at light heavyweight. There's not many fighters that you could pick from. They're either too young in their careers and up and coming, whether they're blue chip style prospects like Ben Whitaker. Other than that, you got other people that are trying to make their name. You still have Govzdik, who is a former victim of Arthur Beterbiev and a former champion in the division. He's still ranked fairly high. So he would be another good opponent for him. Callum Smith, coming off the loss against Callum Smith, they would be a fairly good opposition for either Dan Aziz or Joshua Boazzi. But there seems to be something that Joshua Boazzi was inkling towards fighting, potentially setting up a fight against Anthony Yarde, who he deems to be possibly the best opposition there next to a title, of course, to one of the two champions. So if that's going to be the case, listen, there's some names there that they could fight just for the sake of staying busy. A rematch is not likely, maybe down the line, but not likely to be an immediate type setting because it was a fairly one-sided affair and a fairly dominant performance by Joshua Buatsi. So with that said, now you got somebody knocking on the door of Dimitri Bivol once again. And for Dennis Eze, I mean, he's still a very solid boxer. He just got bested by Joshua Buatsi. It was nice to see post-fight that both of them returned to being friends. Not that they had really created a separation, but of course, because they're training to fight one another, there hadn't been much communication between them, except during the lead-up and the conferences and so forth, to their own admission as well. But it was great to see that both of them are back in each other's as good graces, both of them continuing their friendship, moving on, and potentially will help one another in sparring sessions in preparation for bigger fights that they may have coming up in their respective careers. Dan Aziz gets the first loss of his career, so I wouldn't drop level of opposition whatsoever. Not at all. If anything, I would get into a ring with a Lyndon Arthur who just lost to Dimitri Bivol. Get in there. Get in there with these guys. Get in with a Callum Smith who's coming off the loss with Arthur Beterbiev. Keep fighting these guys. Stay atop the division and keep knocking on the door of those titles. And then you guys may very well run into one another if one of you ends up succeeding and gaining a title. Because they're right there. These are really good fighters, really high-level, light heavyweight boxers. Both possess really good styles, really fan-friendly styles, and completely opposites to one another. I would say Dan Aziz, if he doesn't fight a Callum Smith coming off that loss, both of them coming off a loss, would be a huge fight for both of them and a good fight for both of them. Oleksandr Gavozdik is there, who's a former victim, we just mentioned him, of Arthur Beterbiev's. Who else is there? Malik Zinat, who's, I believe, ranked number 9 or 10 in the world. He would be a good fight for them. Richard Rivera, the American Richard Rivera, that would be another good fight for them. Other than that, maybe Robin Krasniqi, and then we start dropping really low into the standings of the lesser-known fighters. I would say any of those fighters would be really good. Anthony Yarde, of course, the name that Joshua Buatsi mentioned, Lyndon Arthur, who just suffered his loss to Dimitri in December. But other than that, I mean, I would stay around those top levels right now because these two fighters are ranked fairly high, and they're knocking on the door of a title. Lerone Richards is also one who was making noise at 168 and now campaigns at 175. Jean Pascal, of course, Jean Pascal is kind of like what's the heavyweight? What's that heavyweight fighter that seems to fight everybody and doesn't go away? And now I saw him doing interviews not that long ago. What's his name? I was thinking that it wasn't that long ago that I ended up mentioning that an episode between him and a fight between him and Chris Arreola would be a fun one to watch. What's his name? Derek Chisora. Derek Chisora, Jean Pascal is like the light heavyweight Derek Chisora right now. He doesn't go away, but he provides good work. He's entertaining to watch, frustrating and entertaining at the same time. But Jean Pascal is still ranked in the top 20 or so of the light heavyweights. Slim pickings right now for the light heavies. So with that said, good fight out in the UK. This is basically the fight that was the best, the two best light heavyweights, blue chip prospects or up and coming fighters in the light heavyweight division who should be near the top or atop the light heavyweight division for years to come after Dimitri Bivol and Arthur Beterbiev right off into the sunset. Very good fight, very entertaining fight. And congratulations to UK because they tend to have a lot of boxers in these heavier divisions that tend to put on really good fights, that possess good pedigree, good styles, fan-friendly styles at that. And they're just They're there. They're made for these divisions. And what can you say? Joshua Boazzi, the sky's the limit for him. A fight with him and Anthony Yarde would be a fun, fun fight, and another one that he would wake up to. I really believe that he would be up for that challenge as well, and answer the call just like he did against Dan Aziz, because there was talks that he was not looking very good in his prior fight, and to his own admission, I believe it was Powell Stepien that he ended up fighting, and he took a lot of criticism after that fight. He came away with the win, but he took a lot of criticism that he was actually taking a step back instead of continuing his ascension in the sport. And to his own admission, he says, well, I didn't get up for that fight. Like, there was nothing in it for me in that fight, no interest. But this one, he answered a call with flying colors, and another fight, a fight with Anthony Yarde, you know for sure that now he's starting to face the big names and the more meaningful opponents, where he would be on top of his game for some time to come, and definitely in those matchups. So Boazzi successful over Dan Aziz, the two best light heavyweights that UK has to offer today, were in a big showdown. Boazzi comes out successful, and the sky's the limit for him. I can't wait to see who he fights next. If it is Anthony Yarde, you bet your ass that I'm going to be tuning into that fight. That's going to be another entertaining fight. You know Anthony Yarde likes to fight, likes to engage, likes to muddy the waters, and that would be a great, great fight to see and gauge where Joshua Boazzi's at in his career right now, if he's ready for that big time, or if he runs into the obstacle that would be Anthony Yarde. For Dan Aziz, stay busy. Take on Lyndon Arthur. I think that would be a good fight for him, or a Callum Smith. And wins like that would get him back into the conversation. If he steps up to a Govzdik, who's ranked number 3 or number 4, I believe. I mean, what better? You come out with a win like that, you're knocking on a title as well. You'll be knocking on that door waiting to see what happens in June. So sky's the limit for both of these guys. Very fun fighters, very high level pedigree fighters. Congratulations to UK Boxing, and we move on to bigger and better episodes. So congrats. Thank you guys for tuning in once again, and have yourselves an amazing night. Catch you on the next episode. Take care.